Let's pray. Everlasting Father, we thank you for this very moment. Your word is sacred. Your word is blessed. Your word is instruction, is instructive for our lives. And this is the first Sunday of this year. And as we come into your word, I pray that this will set the tone for the rest of our year. That we will treasure your word in our hearts. That we will hold on to it like our very bread. As if our life depends on it, because it does. I pray, Father, that you will help me to convey your word this morning with power and conviction. I pray that none who will hear this, whether here or later, will be the same. Why? Because you will speak to them. So take hold of my voice. Take hold of my being. Holy Spirit, come. Breathe upon your word and speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this text, is one of the Psalms. The Psalms are very important books in the Bible. And this morning I want to tell you a story of Max, who is a man who read this text. It was one bright summer morning. Max woke up. It was 6 a.m. and he took his Bible and his iPad and he made a cup of coffee. Max is a Christian and he was in Psalm 84. And as he opened it, he read the whole Psalm. And as he read it, he began to think about what the psalmist was writing, this dwelling place of God. And how the psalmist described this dwelling place. And Max thought to himself, this psalmist must have been there because he has vivid understanding of how this place is. He says it's lovely. Another translation says that it's amiable. It's pleasant. It's a place where you want to be. Once you arrive there, you don't want to leave. You feel that that's where you belong. And as Max pondered these things, he thought about the psalmist and the way in verse 2 that the psalmist said that my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. And the psalmist is talking to the Lord. He's not talking to anybody. Max began to think, this is a relationship that I would like to have with God. The psalmist is talking about the place of God. He's talking to God. He's addressing him as if he has a relationship with him. And Max beginning to examine his own relationship with God. And then he begins to think about the weight of the words. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And he thought, I can't say that. My heart doesn't cry out in this way, but I want my heart to cry out to the living God. I want what the psalmist have. I want to see what he has as seen. And as he began to ponder and think about that, he realized that there was a problem. He wasn't the psalmist. The reality of the psalmist is not his reality. And the fact that he reads it and he quotes it and he prays it does not make it his own reality. Something has to happen in his heart. Something needs to happen in his soul. There needs to be a cry. There needs to be a yearning. He realizes that he couldn't do that by himself. And he began to wonder, how do I become like the psalmist? What needs to happen in my life that will make me talk like the psalmist? And he thought about the courts of the Almighty. The psalmist says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I prefer to hold the door in the temple of God than be anywhere else. And Max said, I want that. And as he thought about it, he was thinking about this verse. And suddenly, he was caught up in a trance. He saw a vision. Max is reading Psalm 84, lounging in his sitting room, and then he saw a vision. He was caught up into the heavens. And then he saw the heaven, just like John in Revelation 21, 11. He saw the glory of the place. He saw the splendor of the place. He saw the majesty. He saw angels mighty, bowing down, shouting, "Holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come." Max was terrified, but also excited. "This place is amazing. I just want to be here." And as he thought more about it, he opened his eyes. And there he was on his couch again. He looked at his surroundings. "This is not heaven. Where have I been? I love that place." He began to yearn for this place. He began to yearn for heaven, and he wanted to have an encounter with God. He wanted to search God out. And then he decided, "I'm going to go on a pilgrimage. I'm going to go on a journey. I'm going to take my wife with me. I'm going to take my two children with me. And we're going to go." He sold his house. He resigned his job. And then he called his family. "Let's go. We're going to the dwelling place of God. I have seen it in my vision. It's the thing that satisfies the desire of every human being. Once you're there, every craving you have will be satisfied." He convinced his wife, and they went on this journey. But before they went, Max did a very, very good thing. He thought, "I need to talk to other explorers who've gone ahead of me. I need to talk to people who have experienced this journey, who've been on the same journey, because I need their experience so that I will make a success of my pilgrimage." So Max talked to David, talked to Paul, and he talked to Peter, and he talked to a lot of people. And as he started up on his journey, his conversation with David goes something like this: "David, what was it? What was it about this dwelling place? How did you get there? How did you have this craving in you? What happened in your heart?" And David said to him, "I was not always yearning for God. My heart wasn't always right with God. But as I wrote songs and as I watched over the sheep and as I sang to him, I began to develop a proximity with him. I drew closer to him." And Max thought, "Oh, I remember James said in James chapter 5 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you." So Max thought, "Okay, this is an answer. This is how my heart can begin to yearn after God. The more I draw near to God, the more God draws near to me." So he started off on his journey, hammed with all of this information and with the counsel from David, and he went on and on and on. And then before he left David, David said, "Watch out for the birds." "The birds?" Max said, "Yes, the birds." In verse 3, we read this: "Even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow in a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my God and my King." And as Max continued on his journey, he heard the sound of a nightingale, the singing bird. A nightingale began to whisper, and he couldn't make out what the nightingale was saying at first, but it sounded like, "Oh, hallelujah." And Max was wondering, "Oh, hallelujah." And then there was a melody to it. And as he listened more, then it was the sparrow, and then it was the swallow, and the songs was just rising in the horizon. He was looking into the trees as he journeyed with his wife and children. And then he could make out the song. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, tis heaven to know my sins forgiven on land or sea. What matters where Jesus is, tis heaven there. He listened and he could almost book it out. It was a melodious song, and a swallow starts singing, oh, hallelujah. Yes, it's heaven, tis heaven to know my sins forgiven on land or sea. What matters where Jesus is, tis heaven there. And then he began to meditate. So these birds have a place near the altar. They know where God is. He said, well, this will be my guide. I will follow the voice of the birds. And he followed. And as he went along, the birds were singing louder. And then suddenly he realized he was not the only one on this journey. There were other people with him as well. And there was a big crowd. And they were going. And then suddenly, all of them heard this melodious song. My voice is not as good, but I would try to represent it. And the boss was singing this song again. I don't know whether you can join me. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, there's heaven. Tis heaven to know my sins forgiven on land or sea. What matters where Jesus is. Tis heaven there. And the one verse of the song says, once heaven seemed a far off place, till Jesus showed his smiling face. Now it began within my soul, till his last will end, less ages roll. Oh, hallelujah, yes, it's heaven. Tis heaven to know my sins forgiven on land or sea. What matters where Jesus is, tis heaven there. It was a joyous occasion, and the pilgrims are many, and they had their bags, and they were walking, they were rejoicing, they were happy. And then Max remembered verse 4 that says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And he realized this is why birds sing. They're ever praising you. There is a blessing for those who dwell in the place of God. A song arises within you. You know why? As you behold the beauty of the greatest God, the mighty one that we've been singing about, there's nothing else for you to do but to bust out and sing him. To sing of his glory. To sing of his majesty. The birds are singing. The people are singing. Everyone is singing. And God says, blessed are those who dwell. They will evermore be praising God. Max notices another blessing. The second blessing is in verse 5. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. It's blessing as you set your heart on him this year, as you set your heart before him, as you put him first in your life, as you set your heart to seek him this year, you will be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. And the birds and the people were singing, and they were climbing this mountain. And as they climbed, and they thought with anticipation, as we reach the summit, we're going to see this glorious place. Max remembered the vision he saw, and I'm going to see heaven. I'm sure it's at the top of the mountain. As they got to the summit of the mountain, they looked down and there was no house of God. There was no dwelling place of God. There were no angels. The birds at this time had disappeared. All of a sudden, it was green. The atmosphere had changed. The climate is different. They began to descend this mountain. As they went down this mountain, it was full of death. It was full of weeping. It's the valley of Baca. It means the valley of weeping. It's sadness. It's death. It's drought. It's hard. People couldn't survive in this place. There was no water. It was empty. All life is gone. There were skeletons all over the place. And it was a miserable place. And Mark said to himself, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I'm waiting to see. But the truth is, the journey of Max is our journey. There are times where we are on the mountain. And at times when we have to go down the valley. And the Bible says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And as Max remembered that psalm, and he said to himself, well, so what am I supposed to do? I'm going to receive comfort for myself. And then he stopped thinking about himself. He thought about his wife and his children and other people. And he said, as I've received comfort, I'm going to comfort other people. I'm going to strengthen them. I'm going to help them in this valley. This place is horrible. It's tough. And as he did that, he remembered that as he looks up to God for his strength, as he looks up to God for his help, so the Holy Spirit within him comes. The Holy Spirit strengthens him. The Holy Spirit enables him. He remembers his conversation with David again. And David said to him before he left, look, it's not only that you draw near. As you draw closer and closer and closer, you know what God does? He sets his Holy Spirit inside you. Because that was what he did for me. And David said, do you remember Psalm 51? Mark said, it's one of my favorite verses. Do you remember that bit where I said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. David said, at that point, I had sinned, I'd messed up, I'd done something wrong, and I felt a distance between me and the Holy Spirit, and I began to cry to God. And as I cried to him, he's faithful, he's a kind father, he set his Holy Spirit in me again, and I had strength. And he said to Max, every time you're in trouble, cry out to God. Ask him to set his Holy Spirit within you. And Max remembered, and he cried out to God, Holy Spirit, refresh me. And as he prayed, the Holy Spirit came into him. And in the valley of Baca, the place that is meant to be a place of death, suddenly springs of water began to flow. The dry ground began to be moist. And then there was vegetation. And the sign of life came back again. Rivers flowing, streams flowing in this place called Baca. And there was healing, almost like the river of Ezekiel. There was healing in that place. And all of a sudden, everybody began to rejoice. The place that was full of death was full of joy. The place that was full of darkness was full of light. And the goodness of God was rich in that place. And I thought, wow, this is our destiny as Christians. We're not supposed to run away from the place of mourning. We're supposed to mourn with those who mourn and help them recover. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God's going to help us this year to bring hope where there is no hope. To bring life where there is no life. To bring the Holy Spirit where there is darkness. To shine. But we will do that only once we are filled ourselves. And we are refreshed ourselves. And the valley of Baca was filled with water. Look at what it says in verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of spring. Don't be deceived. It's not in their power. It's in the strength of the Lord, as we read in verse 5. And then the autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appear before the Lord. They continued on their journey. One ironic thing happened. As the Baca became a lush place, a place where people could stay, a place of life, some people who were on the journey with Max settled in Baca. They said, now, this is Ebenezer. So far, the Lord has helped me. We're going to stay here. God has made a place for us. They forgot their pursuit. When they set out from home, they were looking to see God. They wanted to meet him. They wanted to see him. But they run so far. They've seen breakthroughs. They've seen miracles. They're now in Baca. It's been changed. There's now life. And they say, we will settle here. And they stayed behind. But Max said, no, my wife, my children, this is good, but there's something better. I've seen it. I have seen it. I have been there. I have seen it in my vision. There is something better. This is not our destiny. And he pressed forward. And as he pressed forward, other people encouraged him and followed with him. And as they followed, they had personal encounters with God. And I want to say that this year, each and every one of us need to watch out for personal encounters with God. You may not have seen an angel before. God may not have spoken to you before. But this year, as you draw near to him, and as he draws near to you, as he sets his Holy Spirit inside of you, it will not be just for a few, it will be for all who draws near. Listen to what Psalm 107 says. 107, if we can put it on the screen, that would be great. Just want to highlight a few things in that psalm. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And you can say the refrain, his love endures forever. Listen to this. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those who he redeemed from the hands of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. This is going to be our story. We are going to have personal testimonies of what God has done. The redeemed of the Lord will tell their story. This year, you're going to tell your story. And he says in verse 4, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, it sounds like Max, and their lives ebbed away. I don't know whether there's somebody here who feels their life is literally ebbing away. There's good news this morning. It says that when they cry unto the Lord, he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And yet there are some who sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners, suffering in iron chains. What does the Lord do? The Lord, he brought them out of darkness. He brought them out of utter darkness. He broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord, for his unfailing love endures forever. There are people who are in darkness, who God's going to bring out of darkness this year. There are chains that have existed for many, many years that are going to be broken this year, because the Lord is in the business of redeeming his people. You can read the rest of the Psalm 107 yourself. But let me continue with Max's story. Max pressing. And as he pressed in and he noticed that there is blessings for those who put their trust in God. And he went from strength to strength. Listen to what it says here in verse 7. They go from strength to strength till they appear before God in Zion. Max was now very close. And then he heard the voice of the birds again. And they began to sing. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 'tis heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. There's a verse that says, what matters where on earth we dwell, on mountain top or in the dell, in cottage or a mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Finally, as Mark left the valley of Baca, they started climbing another mountain. And now on that mountain, he could see the radiance. He could sense it. The birds are now agitating more. They're singing joyfully. They are flapping their wings. They are home. They're going to see their little ones. They're going to see the Almighty God. Max and the others with him, they rush forward. And as they got there, they were at the gate of the temple when everybody started going in. Max was at the door and he was just ushering them in. Just come in. There was joy. There was no more tears. There was no more suffering. There was no more weeping. There was no more agitation. They were coming in, and Max just stood at the door and just said, come in. No wonder he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'll rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And as they entered, Max entered as well. He saw the beauty of God. He saw the throne. And then all of a sudden, there was distance. And then he felt like he was falling. Just falling. Don't forget, it was 6 a.m. when he started reading his Bible. Now he found himself, he's on his couch. He's had a dream. He had a dream in a dream. And he just looked around. I'm still home. I'm not there. The coffee is cold. And then Max realized the meaning of the song. All along, wherever God is, is heaven there? Even in his living room, where God is, because the Holy Spirit is inside of his heart, it's heaven there. And though one day he's going to be there permanently, but for now, he realized he doesn't have to sell his house. He doesn't have to quit his job. He doesn't have to go on this elaborate journey to look for this city. He can be where he is, serving the purpose of the Master. He can be a husband and still pursue the Lord. He can be a wife and still be yearning for God. He can be a student and still be committed to the Lord. He can be poor and still say, the Lord is my portion. He can be rich and still say, I don't depend on my millions. The Lord is my portion. Whatever he is, he knows that he is one with God. And wherever he is heaven there. And this is the attitude that we should adopt this year. That wherever we are, it's heaven there. And we can make that place, instead of being a valley of Baca, we can make it a place of springs through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Do you know, many Christians have pondered, how do I pursue God with all my heart? and still do the things that I'm normally supposed to do as a human being? How do I pursue education and pursue God? It seems like you have to choose one. But God is saying, in what you're doing, acknowledge me. Let your heart incline to me. And I will teach you in all your ways, acknowledge him. And it will make your path straight. And as Max began to worship, it was now led finally to Psalm 27. And listen to this. Amazing. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. Max realized that all along, we're not looking for a place. It's not the place that we're fascinated by when God comes back to take us back to glory. It's not the heaven that is paved with gold that is the fascination for John when he saw in Revelation. It's not just the angels and their magnificence, and it's wonderful, those things. It's the Lord. It's the Lord himself. Listen to what the psalmist says. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple, is him. He's the glory of the place. He is the one that we should pursue. He's the one that should be the hunger and the thirst of our heart. He's the one who's put the breath in our lungs. And once we serve him and we pursue him and we seek him, he will satisfy that hunger. He will satisfy our desires. And as I finish, I just want you to be like Max this year. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Let the Lord speak to you. Consider patriots that have gone before. David, Peter, Paul, all these people have experiences recorded in the Bible. Learn from them as you build this personal hunger, personal thirst for God. And I tell you, there's one more thing you need. You can't do it by your own strength. You can't do it by your own power. You need the Holy Spirit inside of you. You need him to full measure. You need him to create this hunger and this thirst inside you. So if you're here this morning, you're thinking, I may be like Max. I cannot say that I yearn after God. There's social media that's calling for my attention. I'm looking for approval. I'm looking for attention. I want to be famous. I've got my first mortgage to sort out. There's things that are taking my time. I'm going to put my energy in those things. Max realized that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing will be added to us. This is the economy of the kingdom. He adds those things that we will naturally want to pursue when we seek him. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to quit your job. You have to be faithful doing your job. And you have to be a man and a woman who is conscientious, and they will see the beauty of Christ in you, through you, in your working place. They will know that you belong to God. You will make a difference in the same way Joseph made a difference. You will make a difference in your workplace. As a businessman, you will make a difference. But you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's the Holy Spirit that will help you to do that. How many of you want to be on a journey with us this year? How many of you want to be on a pilgrimage this year? How many of you want to seek God like never before this year? If that's you and you crave the Holy Spirit this morning, can you rise up? Let's pray together. I'm just going to pray with you. I'm just going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come. You can pray for yourself and say, Lord, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I want to be in the house of my God. Open your mouth and pray and ask the Holy Spirit, come, fill me, revive me, encourage me, strengthen me. Open my eyes to new things this year. I want a real relationship with you. I don't want to follow the crowd. I want a tangible, personal relationship with you. Cry out to God this morning.